This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is Wednesday with me, Yolandi Becker, your host of Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting, but today focusing definitely more on the parent themselves. I, as you know, I have a passion for sleep and I love talking about sleep. And we've spoken many times about children sleep, baby sleep, etc., etc. But I do feel it is necessary actually to talk a little bit about adult sleep and your sleep, because I've also helped lots of parents sleep better and then they still struggle with sleep, whether or not it's because of your own sleep issues, maybe that of your partner's sleep issues. That's also a very common thing, is that so many of my friends complain that they have to start thinking about sleeping in separate bedrooms because their husbands are snoring so loud. So it is definitely something that is an issue. And I, again, I've got such a passion for sleep. And if I wake up twice a night for whatever reason, then I am cranky the next day. So we all know what it feels like if we're not getting an appropriate amount of sleep. But the reality is that the necessity for sleep goes beyond just feeling in a better mood. So many things within our bodies are regulated with sleep, and things happen while we're sleeping. And oh, it is so important. But again, I'm now going on my soapbox, whereas, as always, of course, I have the experts here to join me to talk about this and to reiterate this fact of how important sleep is. And joining me today is sleep health coach and insomnia specialist, Jan Daniel Ace. Hi, JD, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. I hope you slept well last night.
Is that now like a thing to make sure I'm not cranky?
Oh, you're not cranky, Yolandi.
So no, it is. I did actually sleep. I go through these weeks where 1 week I'm sleeping horrible, and then it's about 3 weeks that I'm sleeping great, and then I have another week of where I'm sleeping horrible, and I'm sleeping great phase at the moment.
Fantastic.
Yes, but as I mentioned to you, I mean, I think as adults, I mean, you know, it's all those things where people say to you all the things, you know, you have to exercise, you have to sleep well, all those things. If you're thinking about getting older and becoming healthy and taking care of yourself, we know that we need to sleep. And I feel can feel it when we haven't properly slept. But why? Why is sleep so important?
Well, I can explain it from a parenting point of view, and obviously because your show is called Bump and Beyond, it's about babies and children as well. If we think about, I've mentioned the health triangle a couple of times, and you know we need to eat healthy, and we need to exercise, and we also need to sleep well. Sleep forms the basis of those other two legs of the triangle. If we don't sleep well, if we don't prioritize sleep as necessary, you know, then it puts us in a position where we crave unhealthy foods. We don't have energy to exercise, and I'm not even talking about the pathology now. I'm talking about people with no sleep pathology. If we don't prioritize sleep, then we are going to have problems in the future, obviously. So the bottom line here is sleep, from a parenting point of view and from a children's point of view, it forms the foundation of everybody's emotional, physical, and cognitive well-being. Okay, so that's why it's important. If we have time, we can go into the pathology later on about sleep illnesses and so on. But if we think about something like Shabbat, for instance, okay, and sleep is our own 24-hour Shabbat in a 24-hour period. Okay, so we need the sleep as well as we need something like Shabbat, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So from a children's point of view, it's important to sleep and have a structured sleep routine, nurturing environments, and quality sleep. That's very important. And and it helps children to grow and learn, and where they start to begin to explore their own identities and their values and the traditions and so on. Sleep for children is also obviously very important, and children's sleep is very close to my heart because kids don't sleep well, and there's a number of reasons for that, you know. Yes. So it's important for children to sleep more than parents do because of what happens when we are asleep. Sleep is not where we simply lose our consciousness and nothing happens. Sleep is a very active and productive process. And luckily, sleep is like becoming hungry. You don't think about or worry about becoming hungry, you know, most of us. It just happens. And the same with sleep. It just
I agree with you in that sense that it does, you know, we're built for sleep. We're built for eating. We're built for all those things. But in the same breath, just like we can get distracted from eating, you could be busy at work, you could be busy doing something, miss a meal, and then you binge eat later. I think the same can be said when it comes to sleep. There's so many distractions that can keep us from sleep, and even more so with children, that I think it can have such a huge impact, all these distractions of sleep. So before we get on to what happens when we sleep, I would like to know how much sleep is needed for adults and for children.
For children, obviously it differs in how old they are. You know how well babies sleep.
Yes.
Babies, you don't have to worry about a thing. But school going children, you're the baby expert, Yolandi.
It's like, we don't have to worry about a thing. Yeah, people, more often than not, babies are not sleeping. I don't know where it comes from, that saying, sleep as well as a baby. They should say sleep as well as a husband.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I get you. So if we think about toddlers, okay, 1 to 2 years old, they need about between 11 and 14 hours. That's including daytime naps, okay, Preschoolers from 3 to 5 years need about between 10 and 13 hours of sleep. That's also including naps. And then after that, you know, from 6 years on, kids don't need naps anymore. Okay, but then they need about between 9 and 12 hours of sleep. And high school children, 14 to 18 or 14 to 17, need between 8 and 10 hours. Okay, so if we think about this, what happens to us when we sleep? When children need to sleep, because there's a lot of things happening, but one of the most important things for children's growth that happens when they get what we call slow wave sleep or deep sleep, okay? And that is the human growth hormone gets released. It's critical. It is absolutely essential, critical.
Yes.
That kids need to sleep longer. If parents do this, and I know, I understand there's lots of kids who get active and hyperactive when bedtime approaches. I get that. But in normal circumstances, don't, you know, set up a proper sleep routine, some wind down time before the time, you know, before bedtime, and then just let the kids sleep, you know.
On this note of this growth hormone that gets released, this is up until what age does the growth hormone get released? Up until they stop growing, which is then what, 26 years.
Until the day we die. Until the day we die.
Yeah. Okay, so it is necessary for sleep because it always gets released. And look forward to this conversation a little bit more just after the ad break.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and we're talking parenting, but we're talking sleep today, so we're focusing on the actual parent, even though we have mentioned a lot about children as well. and how much sleep is required for children and for adults. From baby until, I mean, we heard now, forever the growth hormone is actually being secreted. So, and it happens during sleep. So for obvious reasons, learning and all those things will only happen during the sleep time, or mostly happen during sleep time. So it is important for us to get the appropriate amount of sleep. Joining me today is sleep health coach and insomnia specialist, Jan Daniel Ace. And if you want to be part of this conversation, please, as always, if you have any questions or comments, how are you sleeping? Are you sleeping well? Are you awake because of someone else? Are you awake because of your own bad sleeping? How much do you sleep? Because Jan Daniel was mentioning to us earlier that children require a lot of sleep, but we'll get into how much actual adults need, and I wonder what the average is for that. But yes, like I said, if you want to be part of the conversation, please, you can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. If you have any comments or questions, please do send it to us. Obviously, if you've got the app on your phone, you can contact us through the app as well. We would love to hear your comments. Jan Daniel, like I was mentioning, so you said that children, yeah, they need a lot of sleep. And it's important for them to get that sleep. But how? I mean, we know adults need, what, 7 to 8 hours of sleep. What is the actual, you know, the actual average sleep that adults get?
It's luckily about, I don't know what the actual worldwide number is. We can look it up quickly, but I'm in a in a pathological environment. I work with sleep illnesses.
Yes.
So if I can draw that data, people with, depending on the type of sleep illness we're dealing with, it's between 12 hours of sleep for adults who's obviously got a sleeping problem. We call it hypersomnolence. And the people with insomnia, it's quite normal for us to see people who don't sleep in a two-day period, two or three days.
Oh, wow. Sure. That's so crazy.
That is on the other end of the pendulum, okay? But yeah, on average, between 4 and 6 hours, people who struggle with insomnia-related issues.
How common are sleep issues? Because I told you that before, that I watched that Australian Sleep Revolution, and I was actually surprised at how common sleep apnea seems to be.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. That also, no, like, because I mean, you have this kind of idea of the type of person, because obesity is often related to sleep apnea, and this is kind of your idea of someone, and that was not the case. No. There was lots of people who obviously were not obese who had sleep apnea, and I didn't even know that was an option.
No, it's quite, sleep apnea falls in the category of what we call sleep breathing disorders. And to talk about sleep illnesses, well, we can sit here and talk for a week nonstop, you and I, you know, but yes, just to cut a long story short, sleep breathing problems, and I'm talking anything, let's take the most common ones, which is not neurologically driven, you know, mechanically driven in our airways.
Yes.
It's about up to about 30%, depending on the population. Here in South Africa, we use the same data as the Australians and the Americans and people in the UK. And that's about 25 to 30% of people aging from age group from about 35 years up until whenever, 85, you know, and you can develop it during any time. So it's very sleep apnea or sleep breathing disorders are the second largest sleep illness in the world. And the first one is obviously the insomnia related disorders, you know, the sleeplessness, where people struggle to sleep at night.
But how common then is insomnia?
Insomnia is above 40%.
Oh wow, that is so many people. That's a lot.
It's about half our population. Now I must add, it sounds worse than it is. Okay. So what I mean by that is we all go through a bad patch of sleep during our lifetime. You explained it earlier. Okay.
Yes.
We've got good nights and we've got bad nights. It's the same as feeling a bit not lacquer for the day or whatever.
No.
So the people with chronic insomnia, who's on sleeping tablets, anxiety medication, who's got some sort of mental mental disorder, and I'm talking about depression or anxiety, whatever the case may be. That's the chronic conditions. It's up to about 20%, and I'm talking about the serious insomnia.
So yeah.
The guys.
Okay. What is serious insomnia? Is that then someone who is constantly not sleeping?
Yeah, some serious or chronic insomnia is, and I'm going to give you the academic definition of this.
Yes, okay? Please do.
So when people struggle, and that the time is not important, yeah, in this
yeah.
case. If they feel they struggle to fall asleep, stay asleep, or they wake up too early in the morning without falling back to sleep. If
yes.
that happens more than three nights a week for more than 3 months, that's considered as chronic insomnia. That's the one, and this is according to the DSM-5 manual that we use to diagnose mental disorders. That's the one thing. The other thing is when time is related, from a clinical point of view, if we struggle to fall asleep, stay asleep, or early morning awakenings, waking up too early in the morning, if it takes us longer than 30 minutes or we are awake for more than 30 minutes, that's also considered insomnia, but that's from a clinical point of view. The more important aspect, if we talk about insomnia-related disorder, the anxiety and the worry about not sleeping takes prevalence. What I mean by that is we get people who it takes them 40 minutes to fall asleep since they are trying to fall asleep. It takes them 40 minutes, okay? That doesn't bother them at all. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just giving you an example. But then there's a person, they need to sleep 8 hours. They want to sleep 8 hours. If they don't sleep 8 hours, they totally freak out. And that is also an insomnia-related disorder, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. And I mean, for me, again, brings me back to that comment that I was making earlier about the fact that, you know, I mean, you're now saying you're struggling to fall asleep, waking up early, and then struggling again to fall asleep. And again, what causes insomnia? Because for me, again, I feel like it's distractions as well. Stress in your work or in your life. It might not just be work, but stress in life could maybe be the cause. Too much screen time, too much coffee, too much alcohol. It's all distractions.
To diagnose insomnia, it's important because insomnia is too easily diagnosed. Okay, insomnia can be seen as what we call a primary disorder where nothing else plays a role, or insomnia can be seen as where there's a medical or a physiological trigger. For instance, something simple, there's a lot, but something simple like back pain can cause insomnia. You know, if you...
Yes. Yeah, okay.
So, but then there's also other issues like iron deficiency or some neurological problem in a person's sleep brain structure, which is luckily not very prevalent, okay? In most cases, and I'm talking way above 90% here, sleep or insomnia is triggered by what we call biobehavioral issues. So here's what I'm saying, and this is important, and this is quite interesting. We call it the Spielman 3P model, okay? So here's how it develops. Every one of us can develop insomnia, whether it's acute or chronic. It doesn't matter. We all have bad nights, okay? Our temperament, our the way we handle life, our personality, every one of us can develop insomnia.
Yes.
Then something happens that pushes us through the insomnia threshold. Something, it's an external factor like stress at work or financial problems or something exciting like going on holiday now and you can't sleep if you know that excitement.
Yes.
And then as time goes by, as time goes by, we start to realize that, oh, goodness, I'm not sleeping well. And then the insomnia starts. Okay, we're not sleeping well. I need to function tomorrow. And now I have to do things to get me to sleep. And then we try harder to sleep. We get sleep medication, which is not a bad thing at all. Okay, there's a definite place for sleep medication. And then we try harder to sleep. We start to focus on sleep. We start to worry about sleep. And then we do things to try to sleep. And those things that we think we must do to sleep better are the things that gives us insomnia, chronic insomnia.
So okay? our want to try and sleep more keeps us out of sleep.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not about the sleep. It's in you, and I see this in my practice. It's not about the sleep. It's about our responsibilities the next day. And you said it earlier as well. You said it when we started off. You said, if I don't sleep well, I'm groggy the next day.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a fact. We can't get away from it. But don't let it worry you.
No.
The minute you worry about your performance the next day, we all, the guys who have insomnia, they know they can cope. It's not nice. It's not fun. But they can't cope.
Yes.
So don't worry about it. That's the bottom line.
And that's also easier said than done, Jay.
I know. I've been
don't
there.
Worry, then the opposite is
gonna happen. I know, but we do this in therapy.
The fact that you were saying in the end of the day just now that that you can, you also have the knowledge that if you've had a bad night, that you actually can function the next day. So yes, it's kind of you can worry about it, but you shouldn't worry about it too much because you can actually get through it and you probably know you can do it.
Yeah.
Yes. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM and this is Bump and Beyond. And today I'm talking about sleeping and us as adults not sleeping always so great. And what the main reasons are, what are some of the issues that we can deal with as adults. I'm speaking to sleep health coach and insomnia specialist Jan Daniel Ace about sleep for adults. And he's highlighted already a lot about insomnia as well as sleep apnea. But JD, now let's get to the point of, I'm so surprised at how common insomnia and sleep apnea is. Let's start with insomnia before we go to sleep apnea. Because I do feel that already some of the things like don't worry about it. But what are some other things that we can put in place, like I don't know, as sleep hygiene practices to help and avoid bad sleeping? Every person should do, and we probably know we should do it and how we should do it, but what are the top things that we need to have in place to have good sleep?
It's very practical. Let me start off by saying that I'm going to explain what sleep hygiene is in a minute. But I need to say, I need to tell you that sleep hygiene alone, okay, is not going to cure insomnia.
Okay.
Okay. It's not clinically indicated, and it doesn't work.
That's okay.
Okay, but for those of us who wants to prevent insomnia from happening, again, I want to bring Shabbat in here again. Shabbat is a very disciplined process, and it's the same with sleep. So, to protect your right to sleep takes prevalence. Okay, and we need to do this more than five times a week. Okay.
Yes.
We prioritize sleep. We have instances where we have to push the midnight oil a bit if there's a big work project or we have to study or whatever. That happens, and that's life, okay? I'm not talking about that. But it's important to have a proper sleep routine.
Yes. Okay?
Where waking up at the same time every day is absolutely important. Okay.
Okay.
Then what we do is we know how we feel when we had a good night's sleep, whether it's 6 hours or 7 hours or 8 hours or in some cases even 9 hours.
Yes.
Then we count those. So let's say we have to wake up at 5 o'clock or six. Let's take 6 o'clock in the morning. We have to wake up.
Yes.
Then we count usually 8 hours back.
Okay.
And that comes to about, I think, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Then what we do is we 11 o'clock is lights out, okay?
Yeah.
And then an hour before the time, let's say about 10 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, depending on how much hours you count back, we need to stop drinking water. You can, stay away from the fluids, for instance. We need to switch off the lights and then give ourselves some time.
Okay.
So think about your worries. Think about your anxiety. Work, journaling is a very good idea.
Okay.
Journal and pray a bit and wind down. That's the bottom line. Get a coloring book. You can watch some TV if you want to. And then go to bed at 11 o'clock, lights off, and then wait for sleep to happen. Okay?
No.
Don't try to sleep. Don't try to sleep. Don't try to sleep. Just wait for it. If it takes you a while and the minute you feel anxious or worried, get out of bed and go to what we call a cozy nest. Go to your lounge or wherever and just sit there in the dark, coloring in. You can watch some TV, you can be on your phone, see what works for you, but it needs to be boring and just wait for sleep to happen.
Is it not that bad to be on your phone? Isn't those type of things or reading and things like that, is that not bad for you?
It won't kill you. Okay, but it's
I've noticed.
But here's the thing, Yolandi. The blue light from a phone and TV has some impact. Okay.
Yes.
But it definitely what takes prevalence here definitely helps us to wind down a bit. Okay. Don't watch the war in Israel. And I heard about Hamas earlier in your news. If that stresses you out, don't watch it. Oh, watch the weather channel. I mean, that's the most boring thing in the world, or whatever. It's not necessarily bad for you in terms of it can definitely, prevent melatonin or not prevent, but limit melatonin release. And that's a subject that I can carry on for another 2 months nonstop, and just on melatonin.
Yes.
But so the important thing here is don't stress about sleep.
Yeah.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show is coming to a very strong end, and it's been so nice. I love talking about sleep. I hope I didn't make you sleepy while talking. That was not my plan. Even though JD very specifically said, don't think about sleep. Don't think about it. I think it's a very, a great topic. And I've learned quite a lot today. It's been really great. Thank you. My guest today, JD Ace, who also is a sleep specialist in the end of the day. And he also helps lots of adults sleep better all the time. But if you've missed a show, as always, don't despair. Luckily, it will be available as a podcast on hifm.com. So please go have a look at it. And if you haven't downloaded the app, I don't understand why. You should really go do that. You can listen to it from your phone, wherever you are, and then access all the podcasts on there. My show and all the shows are available on hifm.com for you to go listen to. So please go have a good one with that. But JD, just before you go, I mean, we've now spoken about insomnia. And I mean, again, we've spoken about what sleep hygiene things all of us can implement. And again, we could probably have a whole show about like things like blue light and things like that. But you mentioned that those things are not going to cure insomnia. And the same breath, I guess you could say, I know you can say that about sleep apnea. So we're going to have a whole conversation because we've missed out a little bit on that husband snoring initiative. But is it, let me just ask this question because I feel people can also contact you if they have issues with that. Is it normal? Do all people who snore have sleep apnea? Let me ask it like
No. Yes. Not at all. I even get sleep people with sleep apnea that doesn't snore. We get people who literally do the Ironman competition and they have, some of them have sleep apnea. So it's not the prevalence. And just quickly, we use the stop bang questionnaire to identify the risk. So usually, if you have hypertension, high blood pressure, whether it's under control or not, if you have that, and you have, for men, you have a tummy, you know, it looks like you're a little bit pregnant, you know, like that. And if you are slightly overweight and you're over and above 50 years old and you snore, then the chances are very high that you have sleep apnea.
Okay.
It gets, and then we can have another discussion on that, you know,
yes, in terms
of how we test it and how it's treated and all of that.
Okay. So, JD, before you go, please can you just tell people where they can reach you and how they can reach you? And if you're wondering, in the end of the day, I think JD always tells me, it's like, if you're feeling tired after sleeping, then you should check it out. And where can they find you, JD?
They can go onto my website. That's www. Dot, I'm going to spell it. It's Arkel Sleep Clinic, ArkelSleep Clinic. ArkelSleepClinic.co.za. That's the best way to get hold of me. They can send me, my number is on there, my address is there. And they can also send me an email, and I'm very quick to respond.
Great. Thank you, Jan Daniel. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Again, like I said, we're going to have to do it again to speak more about sleep apnea as well. It would be wonderful to have you again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you to your listeners. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.